Man, it has been a long time since I've dropped a podcast here on the Matt Biamonte podcast feed, but I'm back. Ever since I took the KSL Cougar Sports Saturday co-host gig with Mitch Harper, it's taken up a little bit more of my time, and so it's been harder to get these podcasts out, but I'm going to do a better job going forward, and there's no better time than right now to talk about something other than BYU sports. I'm going to bring on my good friend, Laker friend, Kyle Bruderer, and we're going to talk about the Lakers and the Western Conference, because tonight the NBA season kicks off and there's a great game between the Lakers and Clippers. However, there's no Paul George, so it's hard to really get a measuring stick here, but it's so exciting as a Laker fan. For those of you who have listened to the podcast the last couple years, woo, it's been tough being a Laker fan this decade, and so I'm hoping this Anthony Davis era is going to bring us back to the playoffs and hopefully an NBA championship. So let's get right to it. I'm going to bring on Kyle Bruderer. Before you say anything, let me just say one quick thing. I love Anchor because it's the easiest way to podcast. I also dislike Anchor because of what just happened a moment ago when someone called me. It completely interrupted everything, and I wish there was a way to kind of block. Okay. I wish there was a way to block the rest of the phone while you're mid recording. I don't know. Maybe that's a feature for down the road, but I do love Anchor, but that's what happened a moment ago. So to recap the listeners who obviously aren't going to hear that piece, we are talking about the Lakers first and foremost. And we're saying our excitement level is a little higher than it's ever been, probably because of the preseason. And for me, there's a couple reasons why. Number one, AD and LeBron, they've got the chemistry going on, which is really nice to see that their plus minus is like 30 when they're on the floor together. But maybe more impressively than that is Avery Bradley looks like he's returning to form, which would be a huge boost, especially if he can shoot the three. Dwight Howard has been a major surprise. He's playing selfless basketball, and it's like,
yeah,
if he will just rebound, defend, and clean up missed shots, he might be one of the best backup bigs in the league if he can stay healthy. And that would be huge because the Lakers have shown throughout this preseason, Kyle, that their length is going to be the best in the NBA, and it could really provide some problems for other teams.
Is that everything?
Yeah, that's everything. Yeah. That's everything.
Yeah, I know there's a lot, and we haven't done one of these in a while, so there's plenty to cover, but I agree. I think Avery Bradley has been a huge, huge surprise. I think there was a big question mark there where it was like, oh, we signed Avery Bradley, and you think about, you know, his Boston days, and then you're like, but he hasn't made a whole lot of noise since then.
No.
And so the fact that, and like everyone in training camp and practices and everything has just been raving about Bradley, like more than anybody else, which has been really, really promising. You have to have really, really good defenders on your team.
And, yeah.
You know, LeBron can be a very good defender if he is locked in and chooses to do so. When he's playing on a squad of bums like we had last year, he checked out. He wasn't going to sacrifice his body when he knew that there was no, you know, finish line anywhere near in sight. So, and we've seen it in the past. LeBron can be an elite defender, for sure. Anthony Davis has been a proven elite defender. And you're talking about the length. Like, remember when the Lakers had, you know, Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum? A healthy Andrew Bynum and Pau Gasol, like, they worked pretty well together.
And Lamar Odom.
And Lamar Odom, yeah. They had a very, very long defensive, just monster of a team. This is pretty scary. You have Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard, and JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee has been ripping it up as well. That guy is on a mission. Like,
yeah.
At the beginning of the season last year, he was tearing it up. He was in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. He got sick, and then I don't know what happened after that, but he's looking like that JaVale McGee right now. So,
well, those – And the good news, just to piggyback off your JaVale McGee point, is
yeah.
last year it was like it was him and Zubats, and both of them had injuries, and we ended up trading Zubats. It was like I think he was asked to do too much, and it just got the best of him. But now it's like, hey, just give us 20 minutes a game of elite defense and good screening and offense, and then I think that can be sustained. He's not a guy who can start and play high 20s, low 30s, but for low 20s, I'm liking it.
Absolutely. And I think Dwight Howard coming off the bench playing that backup center role, I'm sure that he'll start some games. I imagine, you know, JaVale may not start every game, whether it's health, rest, injury, whatever it may be, or maybe Dwight outplays him at some point. I don't know. But Dwight, I was watching – I can't remember who they were playing. I was watching a preseason game, and
there's only two choices.
I think it was against Brooklyn, to be honest.
In China?
It may have been. LeBron and AD didn't play in that game, right?
LeBron and AD did play in the China games.
Okay, no, it must have been a Golden State game then.
Yep.
Where both of them were sitting, and I was watching Dwight Howard play with the second unit, and the old Dwight Howard would have just demanded the ball every single time, tried to back people down, maybe get a couple of dunks, but also, you know, make a lot of really stupid errors. He was moving the ball like it was second nature to him. Like, he'd get the ball, if there was nothing to do with it, he'd kick it out to a guy. He'd come out to the high post and run the offense. I was like, I was so taken back. He had 6 assists that game. He almost had a triple-double. I was so taken back by his selfless play. Like, the word you used, you know, you said selfless earlier, and that stuck out, because that's exactly what I'm seeing from Dwight. I'm just totally baffled by that. The length at the center position is just scary.
We haven't even talked about LeBron and Kuzma. Who are also, I don't know if you saw this, but the NBA has demanded that teams actually list the correct height of players. And a lot of teams' height are coming down. But the Lakers did come down a little bit. But LeBron is still listed at 6'9". Kuzma, I think, is 6'8", might be 6'9". I can't remember off the top of my head. But
he's pretty close. He's right there. One of
but that's two. That's 5 guys that are going to play a lot. Like,
yeah.
You can have lineups with Kuzma, LeBron, AD, and JaVale or Dwight. And if you throw Caruso or KCP in there, that's everyone 6'4 and above. I mean,
or this Danny is going to be
Danny Green. I mean, this is a long team, team that can really cause some problems. And I know it's only preseason, and that's the caveat, but right now it looks like there's some real depth to that length too, which is really, really promising.
Yeah, it's exciting. I feel like I always have to say this because I know people don't feel bad for us being Laker fans, but you know, we suffered for a while, and it wasn't your typical suffering, because it's like, you know, you have a team that's kind of bottom of the barrel. Like, no one expects – let's talk about, like, Cleveland pre-LeBron. No one expects
– Oh, boy, that's tough, man. Cleveland pre-LeBron, you know, is tough.
Like, or, you know, just, you know, different team – or the New York Knicks right now for the last – you know, since Patrick Ewing, basically. No one – I mean, they haven't
– That is a long period of time.
I know. It is. But I can't remember – I saw a stat – recently that was just so mind-blowing, where like the number of playoff games the Knicks have won since then, newer team, because the Knicks have been around a long time, there's a lot newer teams that have won way more playoff games than the Knicks have since that time. Like, it's anyways, enough bashing on the Knicks, they've been through enough. But you think about teams like that, and you know, there's not the expectation for them to be great. Maybe there was for a little while with New York, but other teams, small market teams like that, it's like, you know, they have the occasional pretty good season, but the Lakers are expected to be great. They're expected to always be competing. And when you're at the bottom of the barrel, people love to just dump on you. And so, you know, I don't know. It's it hasn't been the most fun thing. So I'm excited to have a competitive team that has elite players. I'm tired of having teams that compete for a little while and then throw games away at the end because they don't have anyone that can, you know, take them to the promised land. Like, it just, it's really, really frustrating. And I know that you and I have had a lot of discussions about seeing the young talent and watching them grow and all the time invested into them and stuff. But I think we've forgotten what it's like to have elite level players on your team.
Yeah. Like, which is what you can't be a finals contender if you don't have at least two top 10 players. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And we weren't going to get to with the young core that we had the last, you know, 3 years or whatever. Those guys weren't going to get to that point.
Not with LeBron on the team.
No, definitely not. So I think, you know, all things considered, I'm very pleased with where we are right now. It's exciting to be a Laker fan right now. And I kind of like the fact that, I mean, it sucks that Kawhi didn't sign with LA, but it could be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
So I am because really excited that that's our first game.
He does have injury issues still. And
yeah, so does George. Paul George has, you know, he's had plenty of injury issues. I mean, those guys are probably only going to play 60 games apiece this season.
Yep.
60 at the most, I think. So they'll be well rested for the playoffs, but I don't know. I think that we have a better team than the Clippers. Like, you really look at the Clippers, and yeah, you have Lou Williams, who's no scrub, but he's getting a little bit older. But I like our team, man. I
like our team too. I don't know if I'm ready to go as far as you do. I think a lot of people, fans at least, are quick to forget that the Clippers have a lot of dudes that were on that team last year that are legit. I mean, you mentioned Lou. Let's not forget Montrezl Harrell came on. They stole Ivica Zubac from the Lakers and quickly re-signed him.
I don't think
Landry Shamet, he's still there, right?
Who?
Landry Shamet.
I'm pretty sure
he's still there. I don't think he was traded, but, I mean – Jermichael Green. I mean, they've got some depth that can't be denied.
Sure. But
proven depth.
Like, I don't know about proven depth. I feel like the
Beverly?
Lakers have more. What?
You haven't even talked about Pat Beverly yet.
Beverly's a good defender, but he's hurt a lot and he's getting old. I think Beverly's overrated.
I do too, but I would kill to have him over Rondo.
Oh, for sure, but I'd rather have Avery Bradley as my defensive guy than Pat Beverly.
I don't know about that. I hope that you're right, but I think anyone at this point would pick Beverly over Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley was a 1 year vet minimum.
So
you can't say that he's a better defender than Pat Beverly. That's all I'm saying.
Money is not always the indicator of the best talent.
You're sick. You're making me – I hate the Clippers, and you're making me argue for the Clippers.
Then stop it. You
this
know
is
better.
Unbelievable. Don't be hasty, Kyle Bruderer. That was a terrible tree beard impersonation from Lord of the Rings.
That was pretty bad. Hey, look, one thing that I have been pretty good at is Laker predictions, okay? And I think Avery Bradley is going to be more impactful for us than Pat Beverly will be for the Clippers.
That is a bold statement. We need to write that one down because –
Let's do it. I can't wait to go back into the archives of our podcast and find all the times that I proved you wrong.
I've proved myself right several times, too, though. Don't act like I'm just swinging and missing left and right.
You're not. You swing and hit a lot, I'll admit.
We both do. But that is – all I'm saying is that is a bit of a stretch because Avery Bradley is not even going to start. Pat Beverly's a starter. Exactly. The silence answers the question.
Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell, but there are I think what we can agree on one thing, and then let's move on to the next topic. We can agree on this. The Lakers' depth looks a lot better now as we get ready for the season than it did before preseason and camp began, because there was a lot of question marks and we weren't sure how they were going to look, but Dwight Howard looks way better than anyone anticipated. Avery Bradley looks good. Caruso, unfortunately, hasn't looked that great, but KCP has had some moments.
Yeah.
I don't think Jared Dudley's going to provide much, but Zach Norvell, I mean, I don't – he's going to make the team. I don't know how much he's going to play, but that dude is balled out. I mean, there are some dudes on this team that you look at now and you say, oh, this might be more interesting than we originally thought, and that's definitely encouraging rather than – I mean, remember a couple of years ago when the Lakers signed Yee, and it was like, oh, this guy, Yee, he didn't even make it out of camp. So these guys are
Begged to go back to China.
Yeah, because he wasn't good.
That's how bad we were.
So that's the encouraging thing right now about the Lakers is time will tell, but if you read anything into the preseason, and preseason has some value, it's not completely irrelevant, that – there's going to be some dudes that are going to step up and provide some depth, and that's a good thing for the Lakers.
Yes.
Okay, moving on.
I am tired of your interruptions.
Hey, life's busy, man. So you got to squeeze these things in where you can.
You're embarrassing me in front of the Walmart shoppers of the world.
Are you? Yeah. Can you be embarrassed in front of Walmart shoppers?
That's a good point. Probably not.
Okay, next topic. Where do you think the Lakers fit in to the Western Conference playoff standing? So let's maybe
First
give
of
me
all, before I say that, did you see Colin Cowherd's prediction? For the playoff standings?
Didn't he have the Lakers at like 4 or 5?
Yeah, but did you see the other ones? He had Denver at number one. He had Utah at number two. He didn't even have Houston in there at all.
I did. Now that you bring that up, I do remember this. That was very interesting. Houston is going to be a dumpster fire, I think.
They're going to be – I don't know.
There's no way that Westbrook puts up with this. There's no way. The preseason lines are absurd. Harden has like 50 points a game. What the heck does Westbrook do? Just stand in the corner all game? That's not going to work.
That's a great question. I don't know. But if Westbrook – and it's a big if because we have never seen it before. But if he's tired of losing and suddenly something clicks and he's able to play second fiddle and be happy with that, then they could be decent. I don't think they missed the playoffs.
Okay, so let's give me your age.
Anywho, sorry. You're asking me where I think the Lakers end up in the playoff picture?
Yes, exactly. Give me your Western Conference playoff picture.
Okay. That is a great question.
Wow. Okay. Let me start while
no,
you think.
Listen. So I don't have a definitive number one. I think that's too hard to call. What do you think?
Yeah, that is probably too hard to call. I would give here's a hot take. I might actually give it to the Jazz. I think that teams that have chemistry carry over from last year and they've got the depth and the health, I think that they'll be a high seed, but I worry about them doing a lot in the playoffs. So I could easily see it being something like Denver and Utah 1 and 2, and I could see like the Lakers and Clippers being in the 3, 4, 5, 6 range. But those teams knocking off those top teams because I think that they have a better dynamic duo than
More
those
experience.
Teams. Yeah, I just – so I would probably say that – I might even say Utah isn't going to be the number one team in the West this year. I might go something like Utah, Denver, Portland, and then the two teams. And then
I could even see a team like the Kings sneaking in here. I'm going to put the Kings in there, Houston, and then one more spot for Golden State or San Antonio. It's so hard to predict this.
Golden State, unless Steph gets injured, Golden State will make the playoffs.
Yeah. They haven't looked great in preseason, but I agree. I think they don't have any depth. That's the problem. Like getting D'Angelo was nice. So they still have Draymond, D'Angelo, and Steph, and Looney, and a couple dudes. But their bench is sad. I mean, I can't even name three players coming off their bench.
Yeah, I don't know either. And what do you think is a realistic timetable for Klay? Do you think he's back by the playoffs?
Oh yeah, that's realistic. I don't know if All-Star break is realistic. That seems a little reckless to even be saying that. I mean, that would put him at June to February. That's like barely 8 or 9 months. Like that seems.
Yeah.
And if on the Warriors, I just wait until March, and if you're like 8 or 9 games out of the playoffs, which could happen, like there could be. This is the type of year that you might have to win 50 games to get into the playoffs. Like there could be just a smorgasbord of teams in the 60 to 48 range. And if you're at the All-Star break, if you're close to 500, you might just say, this isn't worth it. Why run Steph Curry into the ground?
Yeah.
Draymond Green. I mean, he's getting older. It's just like, it's one of those things where you just have to evaluate. And what cost is it worth it? And we've talked about this for years, Kyle, with the Lakers. And I think there's a lot of teams that fall into this category. But you have to ask yourself, is getting to the playoffs and not having a real chance at winning anything, at what cost is it worth? You know, and if you look at the Warriors, that's like, it does them no good just to make the playoffs. They've won 3 championships in the last 5 years. Like being a playoff team, it's whatever. You can easily sell to that fan base, hey, it's not worth it. We're going to check out. We're going to develop some guys. We'll get a decent draft pick, and we'll try and reload for next year. I think that's what makes sense. So I could see them making it because I think Steph is that good, but I could see them falling out as well because the West is just so ridiculously deep. Like if you have one little injury, those teams that are hanging by a thread, that could be the difference. You know, if you look at the Lakers last year, they probably would have been a playoff team, but they had an injury and it was over. That's how the Western Conference is.
It's true. It's very true.
And the same could happen to the Lakers this year. Like if LeBron and AD were to miss 20 to 30 games each, that might be the difference between being a 5 seed and being out.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think that.
Certainly hope not.
I would bank on those two playing enough games. I mean, one thing that does not get brought up enough about LeBron, dude hasn't been this fresh in a long time. We're talking no Olympic basketball, no playoff basketball. This was the first time he wasn't in the finals in what, like 8 years?
Yeah.
Like this dude he's going to be fresh. And so I don't think I'm ready to do this. Okay, I'm ready to do it. I think the Lakers win the championship this year. I really do. I mean, at very least, I think they make the finals because I think they're going to be healthy. I think they're determined. Anthony Davis is a difference maker. And I don't know. I feel like if this team is healthy, and I think they will be, I think they're going to go.
I think so too. I don't think Utah ends up the number one seed. I think they end up the number 3 seed. But there are a lot of really good teams that are on the same par as far as like games that they'll win in the regular season. I think Portland will be up there. Unfortunately, I think Denver will be up there.
I hate Denver.
I know. I can't stand Denver. I mean, the Clippers obviously are going to be up there. I do agree. I think so much of this depends on health. Like that's always the determining factor. But I think the Kings could make some noise.
I do too. They've got talent, and I really like Luke Walton. I'm still sad it didn't work out for Luke and the Lakers. I understand why they parted ways, but I still wonder if 5 years from now we look back and say, ah, that dude is a top five, top 10 NBA coach.
Yeah. Time will tell. We'll find out. Man, I've said that phrase too much, but
I will say Frank Vogel has impressed me so far.
Me too. I like the way that he speaks, and it seems like the players have really bought into what he's trying to do.
I think that's the key. I don't think he's trying to do too much. Like he's already said, like, hey, I'm gonna let LeBron kind of dictate how that works, and it's, you know, with an older team like this, you want them to kind of be in control.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the freaking, like, honestly, if you think about it, LeBron James has got way more playoff experience than Vogel. LeBron James has the most playoff experience out of even most
everyone, teams, but what,
even
Popovich?
Even most coaches in the NBA. So it's like people love to say, you know, criticize LeBron for, you know, wanting to have his way and stuff. But, and I get that argument, but at the same time, the dude knows what he's talking about. Like, I don't know. I'm glad he's on our team. I'll tell you that much right now.
Vogel or LeBron? Because I wasn't sure.
LeBron. Okay. Yeah, well. But I am glad to have Vogel because he's giving that free reign. But just the way that our team has played so unselfishly, I think you do have to also give some credit because there's no friction amongst the players.
Yeah.
You know, you look at JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, like, when one of them does something good, they're really cheering each other on the bench and stuff. And those two are kind of gunning for each other in a way. So, I mean, Anthony Davis is obviously a solidified starter, but I think it could go – I think JaVale will start, but I think it could go either way between the two of them as far as the amount of minutes that they play. But I'm happy to see them just so cohesive already.
Can I say one thing about LeBron, one negative thing about LeBron?
Sure.
I didn't love his China comments, and the part that I didn't like, I don't mind him saying, hey, you know, you got to be careful. You got to think about what you say. That's all good and fine. What I didn't like was him saying, I'm not talking about this anymore because I'm not a politician. Because it's like,
and yet he gets into every U.S. politician. Politics.
I know he's gotten into presidential debates. He's endorsed candidates. I mean, he's gotten into every political issue the NBA's had in the last couple of years. And then he wants to say we're athletes or not politicians. Like, come on. That was really lame. Like,
yeah,
if he wants to say, hey, you know what? This is a really sensitive issue. Here's what I think. I don't want to talk about it again. Fine. I can respect that, but don't drop this. We're basketball players, not politicians. Crap. When it's, you know, that was ridiculous.
Yeah. I think
he just, he has not mastered the art of how to communicate with the media.
No, he hasn't. But it seems like he thinks that he has.
Like Tim Duncan and Kobe and Nash, like, they would have never said stuff like this.
No.
And here's the thing. I want them to be outspoken about issues. I don't have a problem with that. I don't want them to just shut up and dribble, but don't give me your opinion all the time. And then, you know, when you get a little flack for your opinion, you know, say, oh, I'm not a politician. Like, hopefully that's all behind us. I don't know if it is, but that was like one of those moments when you're a fan of a player and you're like, oh, geez, this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the China stuff is behind us. It's one of those things that, you know, it goes way beyond basketball, obviously. And
yeah,
I mean, he totally could have said, like, he could have totally gone with the whole not being, you know, a politician thing, but relate it to China. Say, like, I don't know enough about China's politics and their and what they do to comment on it. But when you just say, I don't know, I'm not a politician kind of thing, that's where it's like, yeah, I get
you what you have. He was so outspoken about the California vote. I mean, that is politics. Voting on changing if college athletes can earn money on their likeness.
Yeah.
That is politics. And he literally spoke about that less than 2 months ago. And now he's not a politician.
Yeah.
All right.
I can get on board with that. But anyways, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, all right, let's wrap it up with our last topic here. And that is specific to the Lakers, bring it back to LA. What concerns you the most about this team and what could prevent them from reaching the goals we all want them to achieve?
Honestly, the biggest concern is just health overall.
Huh.
We do have some players that have had health issues.
Yep. AD being one of them.
Yeah, AD. I mean, granted, I have to remind myself how young he is. The dude's like 26 years old.
Right.
But it feels like he's older because of how many times he's been hurt. So yeah. I hope that they can use his minutes in an intelligent way. And yep. Hopefully, since, you know, he's not going to have to shoulder, like, you know, 90% of the load on this team like he has in the past, hopefully yep. that will, you know, make it easier on him. So, and, you know, LeBron, my hope and my belief is that he won't have any injuries. You know, he's been relatively injury-free for the most part in his career until, you know, this last season that, you know, he kind of popped his groin or whatever that was, and that was, you know, alarming. He's obviously getting older, but, you know, you do talk about how he's had so much time to recover and rest compared to really any other year he's been in the league almost.
Yeah.
So, hopefully that is the difference maker there. I'm cautiously optimistic about Kyle Kuzma. I think Kuzma, I just don't know, because we haven't seen him play in preseason. We haven't really seen him play with this group.
Yeah.
So he's shown flashes of being really good. You know, he's a very streaky shooter. And I know that he did kind of mess around with his shot again, hopefully in a better fashion this time. And there's all this talk, you know, even Frank Vogel's like, he's probably our third best player. And it's like, I can't.
He has to be.
I know he has to be. Like, he absolutely has to be, but I can't get on that train just yet. I'm not saying there's anyone that's, you know, like, better, but Kuzma has got to be the third best player on this team in order for us to excel. He's got to be, like, he's got to be Lamar Odom. Like, I know that, you know, it's kind of a weird comparison, but, like, you know, you had Kobe and you had Powell, but he's got to be that caliber of a player, you know, when Lamar
was a fringe all-star is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, when Lamar won sixth man of the year, like, you've got to be putting up numbers like that. And hopefully Kuzma doesn't get too, you know, trigger happy. And with this Lakers squad, if they can play selfless basketball and just take the best possible shot, not isolate too much and just run the floor, like, that's exciting to me. That is really exciting to me.
Yeah, totally. Well, we're going to find out tonight. I think for me, my biggest concern is the point guard position. I just think Rondo has nothing. Caruso hasn't been as good as I had hoped, but he hasn't had kind of the opportunity as well. I don't know if he's been kind of given that vote of confidence to start games and play with the good group. But then again, maybe it makes sense for him to be the point guard of the second unit, and you have him, Kuzma, Howard,
isn't LeBron KCP. Starting at point?
I assume that he will. I'm just, and if that works out, then great.
You're talking second unit. You're talking about point guards, no, you know, when LeBron.
I'm just talking
playing.
About point guards on the roster. I just think that Rondo shouldn't be playing. Caruso is probably not ready for a starting role. I really like his upside. I'm glad we signed him, but he's probably not ready. I just wish we had like a Darren Collison type guy to start at point guard or – because I think in a perfect world, you wouldn't start LeBron at point guard and he would just kind of do it throughout the game, but didn't have to be called the point guard. It was just an interchangeable thing. Yeah. But I think by necessity, he'll have to be the point guard, and it will probably work out if he's that good. But I'm worried about that just because if Caruso doesn't take a step forward, I don't think Rondo has anything left. I think he has value on the team. I just don't want him to have a role, you know?
Yeah.
I want his role to be what Tyson Chandler's role was last year for the Lakers.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'll play once in, you'll play once in a while, but we're not relying on you. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I'm worried about.
Sure.
If there's a buyout market. Oh, actually, one more thing: the buyout market. Would you go after Anthony Iguodala? Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, probably.
Here's why I would.
If it makes sense, I think it depends on where we're at as a team when the time comes, because I don't think he's going to – I don't think it's going to happen until later on. I think we're going to be several months into the season. So if we have a need for it, then absolutely.
I'd rather pick up a point guard, but from all indications, it sounds like it's between the Rockets, Clippers, and Lakers. You can't let him go to the Clippers, because that could swing the series in favor of the Clippers, because he's another guy who's going to be fresh, because he's not going to play till probably January or February. So even if he doesn't totally make sense with this Laker team, keeping him away from the Clippers would be huge. Huge. Yep. So if he's going to go to Houston, let him go to Houston. I'm not that worried about Houston, but he cannot go to the Clippers. That would be enough to make the Clippers the clear-cut favorites, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think he, with his presence and his experience, and, you know, when he's healthy, he's no scrub. He's a really good defender. And, you know, he's not the best shooter, but he's a clutch shooter. So,
yep.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where he ends up going, because he's obviously going to sign with somebody.
A contender.
You know, Yeah, he's going to sign with a contender before the playoffs. So, yeah, I don't know, man. And it could be a different team, dude. Like, what if, you know, what if the Lakers or the Clippers or, you know, someone like that kind of implodes and the Lakers don't have a need for it?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, all right. Any final thoughts on this season opening podcast for the Lakers?
I'm just excited that it's here. I'm excited to start seeing them play and watch them, you know, grow and get better as a team. It's very new, which isn't always the best thing, but, you know, as we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, is, you know, preseason has been promising. And I do think that preseason is
– it has value.
It is an indicator of, you know, kind of what we're going to see in the very beginning, maybe the first 10 games of the season. I think it was the same way watching, you know, Kobe in his later years. We stunk in preseason, and it translated into our first 5 to 10 games. We were no good starting the season. So hopefully we're trending in the opposite direction, and it ends up being a strong start to the season. I think having a strong start is crucial.
Yes, because the Lakers' first couple months of the season is the easy part of the schedule. So you just got to come out blasting people. That way, when you get into the tougher part of the schedule, there's a bit of a cushion to lose some games, because you don't want to start slow or during the easy part, and then you're trying to play catch-up for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like the whole catch-up thing. I don't like the – you know, it's, you know, you're figuring things out, you know, when you start, and it's like, yeah, you can figure things out while you're winning games.
Yep.
So hopefully exactly. That'll be the case. But I'm excited for tonight, game number one, and I love that it's against the Clippers. I will be so happy if we come away with a win day one.
We have to come away with a win with no Paul George.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got to. There's no way. If we have a healthy roster right now, other than freaking Jared Dudley, and I'm okay with that. So
we have Kuzma,
true. But we have enough talent and depth to put the boots to them.
Not your best expression as we close out the podcast. We had a couple bad expressions and imitations throughout this podcast, but it'll be interesting. I think the Lakers are in a great position. I'm like you. I'm excited. And I'll be seeing you later tonight for game number one.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So, like I just said, I'll see you later. So,
all right.
See you. Take care, Kyle. Thanks for coming on.
Uh-huh.